Rockers. It is Tuesday, September 14th. We're hanging out with Lori and Julia. As we all heard, we had some sad news about losing Norm MacDonald today. But no worries. We're going to brighten up your day here because the two lovely ladies are here to make us laugh a little bit, right?
Oh, Rand. Well, that
introduction, I'm going to shake the magic eight ball and just see what it says for our productive Tuesday. Of course, we have a lot of Met Gala to get to. Cannot predict right now.
Oh,
that means anything could happen today.
Right.
Anything could, can and will. And our second chance, it is decidedly so. So there, the eight ball has spoken.
All right.
You guys, the magic eight ball is spoken.
Whatever that even means.
Well, you know, we shake it every once in a while over here and it disappears and then it shows back up in the studio.
I thought it's always been over here. I wondered where it went. So well, it's over on your side.
People were probably needing it today, Julia, on this Tuesday.
Yes.
This, didn't know what it was kind of a day it wanted to be this morning.
It was drizzly, rainy, but also
wasn't it kind of nice,
humid.
Though, the rain last night?
Yes, it was really nice.
I don't know why I like nighttime rain.
Well, who doesn't?
Just it's laying like in bed and
being lazy.
Snuggling with Casey's mm-hmm. feet.
Because fantastic. You got to add the feet in there.
Yeah, no, because, okay, so he, for some reason, I think it's his shoulder that, for whatever reason, at some point over the summer, he started sleeping
in a different direction.
In a different direction.
Okay, so you are north south, and is he east west?
I'm up at the headboard.
Okay.
And his feet are up by me.
Okay.
Now, if there's any sexy time happening, of course, we're in, you know, good parallel positions.
Nice.
But when it's time to go to sleep,
you get
he wants
feet.
To be right under the fan.
Okay.
And the fan is like more at the end of the bed, the ceiling
right.
fan. And so we just kind of laugh about it every day. I'm like, oh, your feet are as warm as your hands or your head.
Right.
Casey's a very
warm bodied person. Is it cooler than having just the feet by you?
I'm not hot at right. night or whatever, but I just get a big kick out of the fact that he's always down by the
the foot
that
of the bed.
Foot of the bed.
He's got to lose pillows at night. That's got to be the tough part about sleeping on that end of the bed, right?
He takes them down there with him and he jams one between his legs and, you know, one like.
I've been practicing since yesterday. You know, you have to sleep on your back
for
the wrinkle situation.
Okay.
So last night, because I'm a side sleeper, so I prop my head up on an extra pillow, and then I like put pillows on the sides of me to keep me from
rolling.
Flipping,
yeah,
thinking it was not bad. I think I did all right.
Yeah,
for
this
half the
is
night.
Why, Julia. I cross.
You do. You cross your arms.
My arms, but that's only because it's comfortable sleeping on your back, more comfortable, or you can put them right on your triangle.
That's
no,
what I do.
I put
I
them
cross
right,
over the
like,
triangle
in your underpants.
My underpants.
Yeah, and put
on
them,
the sides.
Hook them in like that. Yeah,
no, on the sides.
Yeah. Because it's not comfortable. Some
just having loose arms. You kind of want to bound.
Yeah. So
I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
I just mean you kind of want to be snuggled in.
Yeah. So this is. So I do the cross.
She does.
So I look like I'm in a coffin.
Like Dracula.
I do that, but the opposite, like you said, towards the triangle, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Yeah.
The triangle. Yeah. The triangle of love.
Yeah. There you go. Whatever.
Love and. We digress.
We do digress.
Anything? Well, I mean, I got home and I was just obsessed with watching the Met Gala and called my mom and I said, turn on E! We're having fashion.
So was it live on E?
Yes.
Okay.
But they had crappy coverage. I don't know if why they thought we wanted to listen to Brad Goreski. Lloyd, I forget that guy's last name.
Who weren't there?
Well, they were all in the E studio looking at their camera person.
That's like how you watch football games now. Like the Gopher game, they're home in their home studio broadcasting from wherever these broadcasters are about a Gopher game and you can't even hear the cheering. Did you notice that, Grant?
I can't
stand it.
Yeah, it's weird. They got
to
get the announcers back.
To save money or something, people don't send crews out, but it's like...
I would have
missed out on so much of the experience.
They did it originally due to COVID.
Sure.
They kept everybody back. And now some people, like even I think the Twins, correct me if I'm wrong, people might, but I know for a while the Twins announcers were still staying back. They'll come in for the home games, but they'll sit in Target Field for the away games.
It's boring.
Yeah, broadcast.
Because you don't feel like you're there. So you were missing out.
Yeah. And so these four moderators, it's the one lady from, she's the blonde British woman. She's been on E! Fashion Police before.
Forever. Yeah.
And then June Ambrose was the other girl. So they had four moderators showing a tiny, aerial view of the camera, and every once in a while someone would would get like Taraji P. Henson, who I swear was wasted.
I think you're right about that.
It looked like somebody was wasted when they put on her makeup and her outfit, and she was just they got Teyana Taylor, but they didn't get anybody big, so they just would yammer. And here, let me give you what they would say. And my All mom right. was like, these people are so annoying, how do I watch it online? So I sent her to Vogue.com. Yep. She said they don't show any fashion. It's just modern. It's a fresh take. It's modern Hollywood glamour. I just love it. And they would love it over some of the most ridiculous looks. But everything always being described the same way. Fresh take, modern Hollywood glamour, mm-hmm. an update on this. And then they didn't talk to anybody that, you know...
Also, if you're not there, you can't really see the color, because you and I know that from when we've worked the red carpet before. Oh, yeah. The color that you see on the red carpet is completely different in what you see in video and photos later.
That's true.
It's completely different. I just think it's time to quit cutting corners on all this stuff. Give us people who are there experiencing it so we can experience it. I don't like this,
the long distance aspect of it. Well, Holly posted every single look from Vogue.com.
Yes. So, and they did every single look.
There will be people you don't know who they are, but enjoy the fashion.
There were many.
And then
it was fun looking through the pictures.
It was really fun. And then I watched all of E, and then I switched to Vogue.com, and it was Ileana Glazer, I think is her name, and then Kiki Palmer. Mm-hmm. So they were at two different points on the carpet.
They got everyone.
They basically did get everyone.
And Vogue, you had to talk to them.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that was kind of fun watching that. And then over on the Today Show, Chanel, she was there for the first time ever.
She was darling.
And a lot of people did, she would just say, come and say hi to the Today Show. And then GMA didn't have anyone on the red carpet, but they did have someone from British Vogue and Josie weighing in on some of the fashion. And they give us a little tiny bit of
fun
recap. And we'll listen to that when we come back. Hey, welcome back to the Met Gala Central. I will say this. When Jennifer Lopez showed up towards the end of the red carpet, she understood the damn assignment. It was an American fashion theme. And our girl called up Ralph Lauren and requested the most glorious high fashion cowgirl look he could dream up, and it didn't disappoint. Wow.
She was my favorite look. Because it hit what they were trying to do. You know, you're American supposed to dress inspired. Lori's showing the pictures for later. But it was in brown, and it mixed leather. And it mixed metal, her necklace, and her back.
It looked like an ad.
It was so gorgeous.
It was
and her long, beautiful leg sticking out of the big thigh slit, and she looked gorgeous. She looked like she fit the theme. Only two people fit the theme, maybe three.
No, more than that.
Deborah Harry,
and Zach Posen wearing basically the
flag
skirt with the denim. It was beautiful gown.
Beautiful.
Lupita Nyong'o,
she had a denim dress, which was gorgeous.
I mean, what's more American than denim? No, I mean, apparently butt cleavage and sparkles is considered very American, because we saw a lot of that last night. I loved Billie Eilish. She looked like, I'm so happy that she deliberately wore frumpy on the VMAs so that she could have her ta-da. Marilyn Monroe, she talked to everybody on the red carpet, Julia. It was so sweet. She just never felt prettier, and it was obvious.
Here's what she said. She said, you know, she has always had a signature tomboy style. Yeah. And she's
only 19, so all eyes are going to be on her being one of the co-chairs.
Right, and she just said, it was time for this feminine look. I was scared. I didn't feel comfortable in my skin before, and I finally do. And she looked like she was loving her look.
She was having so much fun, and that gown looked amazing with it trailing down. Did you see that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was just beautiful. And it's Oscar de la Renta, and she got Oscar de la Renta to agree to stop doing anything with fur.
Oh.
And had that in her post and thanked the Oscar de la Renta team. That was her requirement.
Right.
She didn't want to work with a designer. Who used fur. And so I thought she looked really great. But here's a little audio.
Okay.
It's Robin and, you know, Lara is finally back in the studio.
She is.
And they're sitting down with Josie, and they'll say the woman from British Vogue.
What are the looks we're talking about this morning?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, where to begin? I think the internet really exploded when Lil Nas X showed up and did three looks on the carpet, arriving in that amazing, like, cape, stripping down to armor, and then having this slinky sort of sparkling suit. It was kind of incredible. And then you had Timothy Chalamet, everyone's favorite, one of the hosts.
Yeah.
He walked from the Frick after live streaming an artist performance wearing Converse sneakers and, you know, everybody's favorite Zoom look sweats. So I was just like, that was incredible. And then you, of course, everybody talks about Rihanna. I mean, you know, sure. She closed the carpet, and I think it was kind of lovely that she brought ASAP Rocky, and they looked incredible together. Him in that beautiful quilt, her and a cape, and the chicest version of a beanie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, so much to talk about, but those were some of the things I thought were great.
So much to talk about. Let's talk about the guys, Jose. Oh, the men really
care.
Oh my God. I mean, we just talked about Lil Nas X. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing those three over-the-top Versace looks. I mean, incredible. I mean, of course, Timothy Chalamet.
I just love Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah,
I feel like he encapsulated our lives. Like, still loving the sweats, but taking it up a notch.
Oh, if you could put 2020 into an outfit, that's what it was. Yep. Business on top and then sweats on the bottom. I mean, I think he totally captured that in the most elegant way. But look at all these guys, like Dan Levy, Pete Davidson, Troye Sivan, who showed up in a dress. Like, long, do you remember, like, on the carpet, we used to say, oh, the men was wearing a maroon jacket.
Yep.
He was really going for it.
Yeah.
We've really seen strides, you know, come to light on the Met Gala carpet.
Absolutely, yeah. Taking it to a new level.
And how about the youth? How about the emerging coming out and just really holding their own. Amanda Gorman, stunning. And I loved how she had her clutch was really a book. Or it was really a clutch, but it looked like a book.
No, yeah. stunning.
And
talking about, like, let's just start with the co-hosts. Of course, Timothy Chalamet, Amanda Gorman, you know, Naomi Osaka, and Billie Eilish. Really the best in class of Gen Z. You want the top of the top in their respective fields. That's who they are. And then you have this incredible cast of characters showing up, and everyone from, like, TikTokers and YouTubers like Emma Chamberlain and Addison Rae to, you know, I have to say, the next generation, like Lorde showing up without Madonna, or Kylie Gerber showing up without Cindy Crawford, when their moms had been mainstays at the Met Gala for many, many, many years. And you see this sort of next generation taking off. And of course, we see Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello there. But there's just so many. Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I think we can really list off. And I think it was really a great night for Gen Z.
Okay. Honest to Pete.
Who starts with the men? I mean, Lara, come on.
Okay, here's the one.
He didn't even talk about any of the women.
No.
I mean, Amanda Gorman, I love that
blue. In her periwinkle tulle.
That was a very pretty dress. It really was. And Rihanna was dead last. People were starting to, like, should we go away? And she shows up. ASAP Rocky had a quilt on then a suit underneath it.
But seriously,
you
could have gotten off the couch with your blankie and gone.
I know, but when you're the most fabulous billionaire in the world,
sure,
this is how
matter.
You do it, Julie. You're wearing a swaddled up in a massive Balenciaga cloak, which is a Spanish designer now made in Paris, dripping in diamonds, wearing a beanie.
Yeah.
The ultimate in high-low style.
But they passed. Okay, so let's just go, because yesterday we ended our show because the people were just starting to arrive.
We were honestly having a hard time focusing.
And it was hard. And so Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, shows up, and she's one of the chair.
Right.
And the Frocky Horror Show, I mean, they are saying she was the worst dress, the worst off theme, the worst everything. And people are like, could she just smile for once?
Yeah.
She just missed the boat big time.
That dress to her, like, apparently she gave an interview where her sister helped design it. It's an homage to her mother's roots, her roots. I mean, obviously there was no
cohesiveness or thought about what the
theme
was.
Maybe she didn't have a somebody really helping her, because the makeup was one thing and the hair was another. It was a mishmash of
looks.
Yes,
it was. And you're like, oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
She was literally named the worst.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for that because other people were just naked.
Yeah.
And they got a pass.
Well, how about Yara Shahidi? So
she's beautiful.
I saw her stop on the red carpet and talk to, must have been Keke Palmer.
And she's from Black-ish or Color It.
Black-ish.
Black-ish, Grown-ish. Yep.
And she was paying homage to Josephine Baker, and she wore a Dior crystal embroidered gown, and it just was so pretty, and she's such a stunning presence.
She's
so
gorgeous.
I love that.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian. Let's talk about Kim Kardashian showing up as a silhouette or a ghost or that black rubber latex man that gave me nightmares in American Horror Story, I think, Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And someone else said she was the out print for the women's restroom.
Yeah, I mean,
it was so, what was that?
Well, it's called Look At Me.
It's called I Need Attention.
It was called Forget About Madonna's Cupcakes.
But
look over here at my silhouette, because she just looked like a shadow of herself. But I was watching it live when she came on, and there was a guy going, you could, you know, like saying to her, wave over here.
Because she couldn't
to the
see.
Right, because she couldn't see. She was covered in skin tight black.
I think I
black.
Heard Jason say, I just should wear pantyhose around and see how that feels.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, it was so, and at first I thought the guy kind of with the slouchy body language was Kanye.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't.
This is a Kanye thing. And a couple days ago, she showed up in a mask. I don't know, maybe she's got new surgery she doesn't want us to see. But it was so funny when the guy is going, okay, and then she'd like pivot and turn. So if you were watching the live stream, it was like they were moving, you know, how like when
a robot.
You're a kid and somebody's blindfolded and they're going, okay, now over here and you're
10
playing.
O'clock.
Hot,
10
cold,
o'clock.
Hot, cold. Yeah.
But it was obviously her. Kim wasn't at home eating pizza because the silhouette, it was just
her.
The bottom. And
yeah.
So like she came as her own silhouette. It's like, you know, it really was funny on Twitter.
Right, I'm sure.
And I did, though, my first instinct was I rolled both of our eyes,
yeah.
Julia, because it was just like, and then I heard somebody seriously saying, oh, and we've talked to Kim's people, and she spent 6 hours in hair and makeup.
Okay, well, they attached a long ponytail
right.
on the back of that head's thing.
Oh, my God.
She looked ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Amanda Gorman, by the way, she was wearing Vera Wang, and she was inspired by the Statue of Liberty.
She looked really pretty.
Yeah, she did look pretty. And it was really all eyes look at me. And then Sharon Stone wore Tom Brown. Quite a few people wore Tom Brown. And she did a dramatic reveal. That dress, she wore like just a classic
black,
like 60s long cocktail dress, but it had a big cape, very Jackie O. Mm-hmm. So they took it off and then she walked up the
stairs.
She
looks great.
Oh, my.
She looked great.
My girl has been hitting it out of the ballpark. So happy. I'm going to show people.
She's showing you. So maybe this will be our video today, Grant. Who knows?
I love it. For the live viewers out there.
Yeah.
All those live YouTubers. We haven't forgotten about you. Lori and Julia. And we are delighted. We haven't had a Low J book club for a while. And we couldn't be more delighted to share this book with you. It's called Lizzie and Dante, and the author, Mary Bly, is joining us. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Oh, we loved your book. It's a love story that's sexy and smart. We now want to go to the Italian island of Elba.
It's a lovely place to go. I recommend it.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Mary, give people a setup of your just lovely book, Lizzie and Dante.
Well, I'm married to an Italian, and I'm a Shakespeare professor who lives in New York, though I grew up in Minnesota, I'll say. And I wrote a book about a Shakespeare professor who goes to the island of Elba, where I have gone every summer with my children and my husband, and falls in love with a chef. Now, I'm sorry to say my husband is not a chef, but a professor.
Okay.
But otherwise, all the details of, you know, the island and the food, I wanted the island to be as much a character as, you know, the actual characters of the novel.
It is. And in a way, I fell in love with reading, you know, beautiful runes. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other people did, because Italy is such a vivid character also in that book, like it is in Lizzie and Dante. I mean, I know one, I have one friend who's gone to the island of Elba, and She just said it was so incredible, but not a lot of people. It seems like it's the Italians that know about Elba.
Yeah, I'll just say that Beautiful Wounds was a real inspiration for me, too.
It was.
That. Yeah, it was a good book. But,
yeah. Yeah, Elba is not a fancy island. It's not Capri, which mm-hmm. is where Americans or tourists or people on yachts go. Mm-hmm. Elba is a place where you go if you're Italian, you have children. It's kind of sandy and not too expensive and not too chic. Mm-hmm. Lots of little towns, you know, on the water where you rent an umbrella on the beach for a week or a month or whatever you can. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the difference between Fire Island and the Hamptons in, you know, New York.
I don't know either one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's sort of the Hamptons. It's sort of the same thing because I've been to, Capri, and it's very, very busy and everything is super expensive. And, that's what my friend had said about Elba and then Napoleon has the connection,
right.
And you write about that in your book. How'd you get the idea for Lizzie and Dante? Because it is a specific story, and we don't want to give anything away. But I'm just wondering if there was an inspiration.
Well, there's a couple of different inspirations. I mean, actually, I was in a restaurant that I based that restaurant on when I had the first idea. And the chef was there, and his little daughter was playing around, and she had a Russian mother who was not in her life. And so part of my story is that my heroine goes there and the chef has an 11-year-old daughter. And it's about making a family, you know, finding a family, as it were, or friends and so on. But another inspiration, I think this is clear on the back, is that my heroine is fighting cancer. And I myself had cancer. My mother had cancer. And so she survives the summer, but she's making a decision about whether to go into further treatment. And I just want to say right up front that she goes back to Elba the summer after and the summer after that and the summer after that. And, you know, she does go into treatment, which these days is very successful. So, but I know that sense that time is limited. It's like shock. I wanted to write a book about that.
Yeah. And how you don't know what you're going to decide until you are absolutely walking in those shoes, you know? And you can go, there's two very different roads ahead of you.
True.
Yeah.
And to get takes a lot of backbone to go through cancer treatment. I'm in awe of everyone who does it.
Well,
when I read it, Mary, first of all, it's so nice to finally talk to you because I know that you were in Italy when we were talking to each other. And then I know your father's here and, you know, you grew up here and everything. So we had hoped to have you in studio, but it's just so nice to meet you.
And your dad, your mom and dad are Robert and Carol Bly, and people who probably know both of them as writers, poets. And
I'm lucky enough to be born of two great Minnesota writers. And yes, I wish I was in your studio and I'd been able to come to the state fair. But
I know, we were hoping.
It's life. You know, life is like that.
Right. So, Mary, you know, you've written under a different name and you've sold, 7 million copies, you're published in 30 countries. You've sold over 7 million copies.
Is this the historical romance?
Yes. And this is, is this your first novel that you wrote under your name, Mary Bly?
Yes, it is. Well, this is the first. This is different. It's not a romance. A romance, you know, I know, like, I write my novels as Eloisa James, and I know the boundaries of historical romance. I'm working on a really fun one right now called How to Be a Wallflower. But this novel took me 4.5 years to write. It was, it's a really different thing to be writing in the present for me and to be writing a novel that's bigger. Not a romance.
I know, bet. Because there is some romance in this novel, of course.
I appreciated your sexy writing very much, Mary Bly. Really and truly, I did.
That's a love story. See, a romance is a genre that has a certain sort of story arc. And this is a novel. It's got bigger themes and it's got more characters than just the main two characters. She comes with her friends And, you know, there are chapters written from the point of view of the 11-year-old girl, which I loved. You would not find that in a genre romance, though. No.
That's true.
Like both genres. Yeah. Okay, so was it hard? So you said this took 4.5 years to write, and you are talking about cancer, and you're talking about choices, and you're making decisions and finding family. Is it hard? Was it hard for you to write this because of who you are, or was it just because it's just more difficult to write in present day?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I could say it's because of who I am, but it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. It was a huge challenge for me to write in a bigger palette, as it were. You know, her friend Ruby is Black. She comes along with, you know, her close friends who are gay. They are, you know, they're not the main characters, but for me, I had to learn and listen and have sensitivity reads and really learn how to write from a point of view that's not my own. And I don't mind saying that in Eloisa's books, you know, the guys are male, they're wearing tights, but they operate a lot like a woman. They, you know, I like a guy to do a good grovel, for example.
Yeah.
Right. this is a novel.
So yeah.
Novels just take a lot longer than romances, particularly perhaps if it's your first, but it was just a whole different kettle of worms for me.
Well, I'll tell you, I really loved the gay couple, the Hollywood A-lister.
Yes.
That all felt so real to me. I was going to ask you if that was based on somebody, if you had somebody in mind. And then, you know, his partner, who's happens to be Lizzie's dear friend. I really enjoyed all the scenes with that couple.
That's great. Well, one of my closest friends is Meg Tilly, who's an actor.
Yes.
And so Meg read several drafts of the novel and gave me lots of really great insight into what happens to an actor when they're starting to age out of being in, you know, the sort of Superman role, and they mm-hmm. want to do something else. They want to do something deeper. And so I think that the reality of those scenes and the way in which they ring true is thanks to my friendship with Meg.
Well, I hope Meg gets to have a part in Lizzie and Dante when it becomes a movie. Like, she just gets to play some Italian woman somewhere along the line, because they were spot on. I really, really felt like, wow, this, you know, this author really gets what's going on in the Hollywood mind. I forget the character's name.
Right. I'm blanking too.
I know you are too. Oh, God, that's hysterical.
It's Liz.
The Hollywood, the A-list actor who's, you know.
Oh, I can't think. What's his name?
Jeez Louise.
Oh, Rohan.
We read this book so long ago. I know.
Yeah, and she wrote it so long ago. But anyway, that's great. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us about the book, because he was really, they were delightful.
Rohan and Gray,
yeah.
That was right. Oh, it's such a great book. And people, and just, the cover's beautiful too, by the way. Which
is that really a picture of Elba?
Yes, and we went back and forth and back and forth at Random House with it, because I wanted a picture that was a little scruffy. You see how there's a bunch of weeds in the bottom right
corner? Yes, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted that look for, you know, a real picture of Elba. Like, you see there's kids playing on the beach.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What Elba looks like. It's not shiny.
Yeah, I will admit.
I want to go there.
We want to go there, and I like all the historical mm-hmm. references that you have to Napoleon, because this is where he was banished to?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. He was banished there the first time. So he has two houses there.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that is a true part in your book. It's what a great delight to talk to you. I mean, Mary, has the book been optioned?
No, it hasn't.
What?
Maybe someone's listening to your show right now, and we'll do it.
There you go.
You know what? I'm going to have to tweet Reese Witherspoon if that's okay.
She's just a pain in the butt.
No,
yeah,
she might like this, Mary. This might be what she's looking for. I'm just going to do a little PR on your behalf.
Thank you.
And are you?
Let me just say.
Go ahead.
No, you say something.
No, I was just going to say something to support an indie bookstore.
Yes.
Because you know, indie bookstores really had trouble during the pandemic.
Yes.
And my local is called Book Culture, if anyone Googles it. And they will, you know, call me up. If anyone wants to go there and buy a book, you just say how you want it personalized. And I go right down the block and personalize it for you. And then they mail it to you.
Oh, nice.
Really? And it's called Book Culture?
Yeah. Book Culture. So it's a great present for anyone who likes to travel, stuck at home, you know, like we all are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we love independent bookstores. So thank you for bringing that up, because this is also available at all of our local bookstores. The book is Lizzie and Dante. Right. This is Mary Bly, New York Times bestselling author. What a treat to meet you. And maybe for your next book, we'll have you out to the fair.
Thank you. I would love to come.
I know. You were.
The pandemic will be over by then.
Yes. Yes, let's all hope. Thanks again, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And
you too.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye. We have two copies to give away. If you give Grant a buzz at 651-641-1071, and we'll get those out to you right away. But for other people, Lizzie and Dante is a great book. You're going to love it. We'll be right back.
Oh, Grant, I loved our book club with Mary Bly.
That was nice.
That was nice.
Yes.
I love that Meg Tilly is the one who gave her the feedback on her Hollywood A-list actor friend, which is a big part of the story in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've tweeted, if people were wondering, I've already tweeted.
Good. Glad to
Reese,
hear.
But at her Hello Sunshine, you know.
And Lori and Sarah are book club winners. Congratulations to you guys today.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a book.
And if people were wondering, it's Eloisa James is her pen name that she does in historical romance.
She's written a ton.
No, she's an excellent writer, but this book did have good sex.
Yes, it did.
It really did. I mean, I'm kind of snobby about my sex.
Written
in
sex?
In books. Yeah, like Julia, she'll like a historical romance. And like she said, there's a way that this goes. This felt like more realistically horny.
Got it.
Yeah.
Realistically horny. That's the best book review ever. Realistically horny.
It was really one of my favorite, you know, books that I read this summer.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, like, can we just go back to the Met Gala for a second?
Let's.
I know you didn't get to watch the live, but I died laughing. Kiki Palmer, she's at the top of the stairs. So a lot of people are passing Ileana Glazer, whatever.
She's
the broad. She called everyone mama. Mm-hmm. Have a good time, mama. You know, she's like a real casual.
That's
Brooklyn.
Like saying honey when you just don't want to learn their name,
mama,
and you don't care.
Yeah, that's it.
Honey, come here and talk to me.
So
tell me who you are and what you're wearing.
So I see Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes coming up the stairs, and I'm like, wow, these two look like Sonny and Cher, but a fresh, modern update.
Oh, there
okay,
you go.
Because she is wearing a Cher type of outfit. It's sort of a crop top and sort of these billowy I Dream of Jeannie pants, but with a slit. And he's in a leather shirt that's unbuttoned with a chain on, and maybe leather pants. You know, he
looked good. Yeah, I thought he looked good.
Yeah, okay, so they get to the top of the thing. And Kiki Palmer, I gotta say, she was hilarious.
Okay.
Vogue kept forgetting to shut off her mic.
Oh.
And she was just a stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But she asked every single person, what does this dress mean in your interpretation of American lexicon of fashion? And Gigi Hadid, they all had the same dumb answer. I am wearing Chanel. Right. You know, they would name a French designer, a European.
So they didn't answer what it had to do with the theme.
Right. Okay. I was inspired by whatever. So these two get up, and the first thing Camila Cabello does is she goes, oh, I got to stand. Because the way they have the camera is you're kind of standing right there. So the camera's behind Kiki, and Camila says, I need to stand on this side of you. Remember, this is my good side.
It's a Barbara Streisand moment. It was a Barbara Streisand moment.
But it made it very awkward because it put Kiki in the middle of Sean and Camila.
Right.
Also, Camila could be on her side. And all I kept thinking is, that's so sad to me that you're so aware of that.
Oh, Lori, these cameras have been in their faces at this age
but
forever.
Whatever. I mean, I think it's rude to tell somebody interviewing. Yeah. We've never had anyone say that. It's always, that's the way it is. You know, you're forward. So it made for an awkward interview. And then she says,
what did
in
she say?
Answer to the, you know, how did this night inspire you?
Right.
This was, because this was Camila's first Met Gala. And she was very excited about it. And she said, basically, they were inspired by Studio 54.
Yeah, and you could see that.
And you could see it. And when he opened his mouth, then I finally was like, oh, my God, are Colleen and Bradley and Holly right about these two?
Being a
made-up couple? Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
What did he say?
Well,
is it just how he sounded? Or he what just, he said?
I don't know. I first of all, bootleg Skipper in that purple outfit, it was not even that cute. And he looked beyond gorgeous, but he looked like, you know, I don't know. He just would fit in a lot of worlds, Julia. And he they didn't seem like a couple at all.
Okay.
On the red carpet.
All right, got it.
In any way.
All right, got it. So yeah, maybe you're thinking there was some...
That's the first time I just got these two, they're not for real.
Okay.
They're playing a part.
Boy, they've been playing a long time.
Yeah, I know. And it was really more Sonny and Cher than Studio 54. Being the shirtless thing, that might have been more him for Studio 54. And then they had a whole awkward exchange where she tried to talk him into taking off that leather shirt, walking up the stairs.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And he said no, and I was just like, oh, they forgot to get their storyline for this interview.
Gosh.
Because she got it all thrown off Fakakta by saying to Kiki, I gotta, you know,
stand
this is
middle.
My good side. No, she said, I gotta stand on this side of you. This is my good side, and the mic is on, you know. It was just, I will always watch that live stream. It was so
fun. No, I want to go back and watch that.
Yeah, there was a lot of little funny moments, and no one could really explain their fashion like Sharon Stone did. MJ Rodriguez, they both wore Tom Brown, and he's an American designer.
Right.
And he wanted to pay tribute to his mom and Sharon Stone's long column cocktail, and he felt capes were very 60s. And then MJ Rodriguez from Pose wore this white ruffled beautiful blouse, like almost tuxedo like mm-hmm. but with high-waisted tuxedo pants. I mean, that's a very classic
American
look.
Yeah,
so the people that were dressed for the theme, but everybody else that was just dressed like, you know,
outrageous.
Kristen Stewart, Chanel space what? Cowgirl,
that was horrible. And her hair with the roll
yeah
curl, what is that called?
It was like cosplay. It was cowboy cosplay.
What does that mean?
Costume play, you know, it's kind
of... I'm sorry, Grant, did you know what cosplay was?
I did not. No.
Neither did I. So, yeah. Lori, you're like looking at me like, Dad, Julia.
No.
I'm like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just like, you know, Madonna was slightly BDSM. A lot of costumes are very... It's cosplaying, you know...
Thanks for telling
Megan
us, people.
Fox was cosplaying a woman who will get you to be spanked, and you will call her mommy or mistress.
True. With a clip-in bang.
That's right, with her clip-in bang. There's a lot of cosplay at the Met Gala last
night. I thought some of it. Just, whoa.
Yeah, cosplay.
Whoa. Right, butt crack cosplay in a lot of cases.